All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects, and it's time to have some F Yeah fun, because holy moly, there's a lot of black clouds out there. A lot of people in panic mode. So why don't we provide some levity and some fun for the next 3 hours? Nick's here for Barry. Aaron Raybould is in for Nick. I am still here. The one, the only, that doesn't have to have time off and miss time need to be replaced for. That's something we need to talk about. Because oak pollen is high.
It is.
Right? So I'm one of those people that, like, you see it, and we had, you know, Dr. Muntz's notes from the Texans and the Rockets internal medicine doctor about, you know, how do you know if you have it or not, symptoms, what makes it life-threatening, all these other things yesterday. So I go to the gym. First of all, the gym last night was a ghost town. There were six people in the gym on the cardio side. I was like, normally this place is filled to the gills.
Those are the people that are absolutely determined to get that workout in.
Which I was dreading. Last night was one of the days in the last month and a half when I've really been doing this again. I was like, I really don't feel like going. But I was like, nope, I'm going to force myself to go. And I was glad I did. And I did the right thing. And after I'm done, I cleaned off my machine, did all that stuff. And then I'm looking around going, man, there's only like six people in here.
Yeah, everybody's concerned. I mean, it's like you can, it's like even if you wipe down every single thing that you touch, there's always that fear in the back of your mind. And I feel like that's the reason why most of the gyms out there are pretty empty. This is probably a good time to have your own little personal gym in your garage. That way you can get your workout now. But if you don't, hey, I get it. I mean, I overheard Raheel, I believe he was talking to AJ, and I believe I overheard Raheel say, he's like, man, God, I felt like those dumbbells were nasty, but I had to get that workout in. And you know Raheel, he's, you know, a bit of a health nut.
And I'm back on it again like that too, 6 days a week. So I said the same thing. I said I wore gloves as soon as I was done, hand sanitizer, and washed my hands and everything like that. But I felt like I had to get it done. But here's the thing. So Lisa's really been dealing with allergies. And I normally have allergies and hay fever and all that stuff, but I haven't got it. I'm coming home from the gym and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I better not be getting a sore throat. Because then I'm thinking, do I got it?
Yeah.
So everything happens and I'm driving, do I got it? I mean, am I going to start coming down with the symptoms? I mean, what's going on? So then I'm like, you know, a little bit like hyperphobic going, what? Maybe this is something. But then I started thinking about it going, you know what? Now, because yesterday in the studio, I had a tickle in my throat at one point. I coughed once and everybody looked at me like, oh my God, what are you doing? So I'm thinking about it going, man, I can't afford to have my allergies act up right now because everybody's going to think,
yeah,
that you got it.
Yeah, and then you might even be looked at as a bad person for not, you know, self-quarantining yourself. And look, that's the thing. Like, I don't even want to cough once. That's why I've got Lysol. I'm bringing in Lysol every day and wipes, and I'm taking vitamin C, and I'm hoping I'm not showing any type of symptoms whatsoever. You can't even sneeze without someone looking at you like,
So Dustin, his sources on Twitter this morning, goes, dude, you know, with this oak pollen, I am like suffering big time. And I go, better be careful now, because if you go out in public and you cough or sneeze, they're going to look at you. And in caps, I put, you got it. Because he goes, oh, I'm going to have some fun with this. I'm like, it's fun until you do it in the wrong spot. Because you are not only going to get the stink eye,
you are
going to get people coming at you 100 miles an hour to get the hell out of a public place. And what are you doing? And this is literally, you don't know the difference right now. And look, the media is not helping. I don't know if you saw this or not, but this morning, Channel 13 sent Maya Shea out to one of the local grocery stores. And the whole thing was, and weirdly, this wasn't the case in Sugarland at our stores, but on the news, there all the stores in like the Heights, Montrose, Katy, and downtown, the line at 6 a.m. this morning was like 50 to 150 people deep. And that's part of what we were talking about, the media sensationalizing all this.
Yeah.
And people buying in.
It just feels like hurricane season at the exactly. at the grocery store. And everybody's buying everything up. Everything from, I heard Tyler talk about what was missing at his grocery store, I think. He said people were like stocking steak and stuff like that. Stuff that will now, probably go bad.
All the meat has now been they showed last night at the store. It was toilet paper, which we thought was odd, as well as bottled water, wipes, and disinfectants. Then after the toilet paper, it got to be canned goods, then frozen goods, because you can keep them for a period of time. And then last night, HEB and Kroger was completely out in the meat department.
Why?
I guess they're freezing it.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. I heard, didn't you say something about your plan about freezing a whole lot of brisket and just...
Yeah, I texted a friend of mine who has a deep freezer because I don't have room in my actual beer fridge, beer fridge and freezer, and said, I'm going to buy brisket, I'm going to buy pork butt, I'm going to buy ribs, we're going to freeze them, and then just bring one out, pick out one a week, come on over, we'll cook it, and then we'll live off of that for the week.
See,
it was all tongue-in-cheek because we aren't overreacting to this, but...
Of course not. But so this morning... Channel 13 sends Maya Shea out to do a story on all the people lining up. This dude, as soon as they go live, this dude, and he doesn't look like a crazy man, right? He's got like khakis on and a button-up shirt, and he starts screaming at them, "This is all your fault. You are the reason why. All these things are missing in the stores. All these people, all your fault." So she's like, okay, so we've got someone really screaming at us, so we'll throw it back to you in the studio, and we'll come back to you in a little bit.
Wow.
The cameraman kept rolling. He kept getting closer, and he kept going, this isn't... And now also, and he's pushing the envelope a little bit, Maya Shea turns around, and he goes, and I don't even blame China. I don't think China did anything wrong either. It's what we did because of what you did. And then he starts dropping F-bombs.
Oh, yes. Those are the best.
And then the dumbass cameraman, which you've been taught time and time again.
Keep rolling.
You can keep rolling, but don't instigate it.
Why not?
Because they can put it back on you. And he's like, you don't think you're the problem? You don't think you're the guy? And I'm like, okay, bro, slow down, because now he's just going to get more triggered. And then all of a sudden, like, he's hot. Like, he's screaming F-bombs. And all of a sudden he goes, all right, I'm done. Have a nice day. Turned around and walked away. I was like, I'd have put up that whole feature. You could bleep out the F-bombs. That whole thing would have been part of my newscast.
Oh, without a doubt. I would have shamelessly had my iPhone in his face. I wouldn't have gave a damn. But I think that's hilarious that they're having these meltdowns. But that's what we're... Dude, I can't buy any... That's why I haven't really... I went to the store once. I saw why everybody's going crazy. Mm-hmm. So I just went to the HEB and bought those simple meals, like those prepared simple meals.
Yep.
And those are about to go bad. So I'm already in a situation. I'm just going to hope like I can live off of cereal for the next couple of weeks, because everybody's got everything bought out. I haven't really been panicking in that realm. I've just been more for me, my biggest fear is, yeah, sure, you know, the spread and making sure everything is sterilized, but just travel in general and making sure people can get home. And obviously the business aspect of it, but I never panicked that way. So I've only gone once in the past week, and it's not a good look for me. I don't know where. I know Lisa's buying stuff online, and she's able to get some of it, right?
So there's a couple things. We got to get to that. We got to get to the Amazon portion of this. But I went to the store this morning because I went to the store last night on the way home from the gym to pick up something that she needed, and they were out of the baby needs distilled water for the formula.
Yeah.
And they were out. But the lady kindly said to me, we get shipments every day. So if you want to stop by first thing in the morning, there's a chance we could have some. So I said, well, I could do that. And in the meantime, a lady completely lost her mind. I'm in self-check. And the lady obviously is watching all the self-checks. She's minding her business. This woman comes over and goes, you told me that you were going to have this stuff and you don't have it. And she goes, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about, but as a store, we get shipments every day, but we can't dictate what they're bringing us. We don't know. She goes, I'm telling you right now, I'm coming back tomorrow morning, and if you don't have it, you're going to get it, and you're going to make it get here. Otherwise, I'm going to make you pay. And I'm like, ma'am, I just looked at her, I go, what are you doing?
You're going to make it get here? Yeah, she's just going to make it appear.
And the lady's like, thank you. I go, did she think that you like run Kroger or that you run the distribution plant? I don't... People lose their mind. So this morning I go back and they have spring water. They have the water in the gallon jugs. And these women are berating the water guy stocking the shelves because they want bottles. I'm like, forget that. So I see one of the other dudes and I go, look, I just look for distilled water. Are y'all getting any today? Do you have any in back? He starts looking around. He goes, I don't think. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, I think I put a case down at the end. He goes down to the end, pops open a box. He goes, boom, got them right here for you. I go, how many you got? He goes, three. I go, I'll take all three. He puts them into my cart. This woman on a dead sprint of over 25 yards starts waving her hand, screaming, going, wait, 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 wait. What is that? And I go, it's not yours. That's what I can tell
wow,
you.
Wow, is it and really goes, going down like
yeah,
this?
And she goes, what? I go, first of all, it's distilled. You don't even know what that is, let alone that you want it. So you have a nice day, and I'll go on my way. And she looked, and he started laughing. I was like, bro, don't even listen to her. And she's like, I just want bottled water. I go, you know what? Go talk to your dude down there. I'm not dealing with this. That's how intense it is at these stores.
That's like the intensity of like Black Friday, hurricane season, and like all kinds of natural disasters combined in one. That's I haven't seen any of that.
Oh, man.
That's amazing to me. And this is in Sugar Land.
The Sugar Land. That was at the Kroger this morning.
Wow.
And there was no lines. But like I said, there's lines at all these grocery stores. And people are like losing their mind. There were women. There's a woman and her daughter that got in line at 6 a.m. this morning thinking they were going to outsmart everybody else. They showed up. There were already 50 to 75 people in line trying to get in the store.
I would never do that.
It's just nuts, man.
I would never do that. So you obviously, considering you have kids, you've been frequenting any stores that you could, you know, just in case, because you need a, you kind of need to stock up yourself.
So we're not stocking up per se, but if we need something, you know, Lisa's just like, hey, I was at so-and-so. They didn't have this on the way home. HEB didn't have this. Check Kroger. I was like, cool. No problem. But as long as there's no lines to get in or whatever, I'm fine stopping and checking because it's not the intensity level, obviously, as right. other areas of town.
Right, right. No, I haven't seen any of this, man, because I haven't been going to the stores. So I'm probably gonna wait too long and then regret my decision. But
we'll see. There's plenty to unwrap here today. And as you know how we do it. It's whatever's top of mind and in the news is what we talk about. Sports or no sports, we got plenty to kick around for the next 3 hours. Hopefully you'll join us and stick with us for the next 3 hours. There's something you want to add to the program, HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Aaron is Blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Today, we are the usual suspects on an FEF Friday right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
What a very crystal clear new introduction billboard that sounds like. That sounds like a new audio. Do we have them recut?
I don't think so.
Huh.
I think it's the same one.
Really? Didn't sound like the same one.
Music, man.
According to Angel Munoz and what Nick is reading from the Houston Chronicle, Galveston County confirms their first presumptive coronavirus case.
Yeah, I guess it's not shocking. There's a lot of people that commute from Galveston to Houston, Houston to Galveston. So, yeah, I mean, it
would. Galveston, you are on the board. You are the next county.
Well, considering, isn't that where the cruise is?
Yeah.
I mean, you would think right? You would think it'd be earlier.
Now, do they count the tent cities around the parking lot of the cruise vessels?
I don't know.
As being part of Galveston? Because probably they're probably leading the state, if that's the case.
The good thing is she's a woman in her early 30s, so hopefully she can get treated and she gets past this like most people.
Yeah.
She's holed up in Austin now, I think.
Oh, is she?
Good. Well,
she's
now
quarantined in Austin. Yeah, that's their problem.
That's great. So the other thing that we need to talk about here, fellas, is the fact that Lisa went to the gym this morning and her trainer has friends at Amazon. They gave her the heads up that Amazon may be preparing to shut down for as much as 30 days because of a lot of different factors, including the mass humanity that works for them. And they all are in, like, you know, assembly, a lot of assembly line things, a lot of germs, to be cautious for their employees, also because of, you know, limiting supplies, whatever. At least, like, what do I do? I was like, well, I don't want you to panic. But, you know, we also got a couple things from local government and people tweeting us yesterday and texting saying there's also a rumor out there that there may be a complete 30-day kind of shutdown around, you know, major cities to try and get right. So that's where we get when we mention, you know, the guy that was yelling at Maya Shea is we've talked about this. I mean, there's a fine line, and you know, what is the media sensationalizing and what do you really need to know? That's why we had, you know, Dr. Muntz yesterday, Dr. James Muntz, who's the internal medicine guy for the Rockets and the Texans. He was going to join us. He couldn't join us. He was gracious enough to send me a bunch of notes that they were working on in the med center about when do you know that you have symptoms that are real symptoms? When do you know if it's life or death? You know, because on the news, you would think almost every case, as minute you hear you got coronavirus, you test positive, like you could die.
Yeah, no question. That's why I feel like at Yale Tongue, the doctor from Madrid who currently has a coronavirus is a good follow because he's going to add perspective. He's tweeting out his experience and his symptoms of what he's going through day by day. And I think right now he's either on day 4 or day 5 right now. So I think that's the kind of stuff that you look at. As far as the Amazon thing goes, I mean, we were talking about it in the break. I'm not shocked that would happen. Amazon is notoriously known to generate a lot of revenue, but they don't have massive profit margins. They have like below 5% profit margin. So it's not something, I mean, they're kind enough and they're big enough to like raise funds for everybody. I think they're up to like $170 million from like for funds that they've raised for this whole situation. But I don't know if that business is necessarily sustainable, not to get too, you know, not to come off as a business expert. I mean, they don't make that much money for them to stay around. And the other thing is, I was told, because people can work in a Amazon warehouse. And as you know, like when you buy something from Amazon and you see, 10 units remaining, and then you buy it, you know, then that number automatically goes to 9. Well, there might be people in the warehouse stealing some of the inventory at some of these warehouses. And so you're getting a false number in terms of what's actually in stock. And so I can see Amazon closing. It's not shocking.
Someone texted in just now. I tried ordering toilet paper on Amazon. They can't fill it because they aren't working already. So maybe they are starting to shut down. I don't know. I know Lisa for the essentials, baby formula. And I think there was one other thing. She made sure she ordered it quickly and got it, you know, and got it delivered because we're going to need that. But other than that, I mean, you just don't. Because we don't know, I think the problem is that most media outlets are just, they're going to pump you full of whatever they get their hands on, whether it's true or not. It's like we talk about the blue check mark. When you don't have the blue check mark for actual tweets and videos and things like that, if you don't have a blue check mark, you can't verify everything. The news is going to fill you with this, but how much back checking are they doing?
Oh, 100%. You know what makes things even more confusing? I mentioned Dr. Drew. Remember, I played that audio about how the media is blowing this thing up and they need to shut up unless they're not experts and blah, 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 blah. Well, he's doing like this. I don't know if it's like it's a Facebook show, but I think it's done by like CBS, and it's Dr. Drew and Dr. Oz. And one of the questions was, you know, how do you feel about the coronavirus now as opposed to like a week ago? And they actually kind of disagreed. They did find a lot of common ground in what they were talking about throughout the whole show. But one thing they kind of disagreed about was Dr. Drew was more concerned about the media blowing it up and how all these businesses are going to be impacted. And Dr. Oz was like, no, if we're more proactive, elevate, you know, not necessarily fear, but urgency to people, we might be able, if it's worth saving a few lives now as opposed to later down the road. So when you get that conflictive advice, what sure. do you do if you're not an expert? It's like the internet. It's saturated. You have to make your best decision.
Yeah, it's really obviously uncharted waters for a lot of people. And what you were talking about last segment, I was thinking about on the way in. Think about all that Houstonians have had to deal with in the last several years that most people in their lifetimes would never have to deal with. From Allison, hurricanes, floods, 100-year flood that turned out to be a 500-year flood. Now this, you know, there's things that you just never in a million years would have put on your list of things that on your resume of things you've been through and gone through. And people in Houstonian are just checking them off left and right going, man, this is nothing. I mean, we'll get through this like we got through the hurricane, like we got through the flood, like we got through whatever else was going on.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously it kind of depends on where you're at with some of these businesses. If they're new, they may not be able to. Look, the XFL made a massive, massive decision. Massive decision. This is a brand new company. Yeah, they started in 2001, but they haven't been around since. Even for someone like Vince McMahon, who has all that money in the bank, that's a massive decision. He's taken on an entire league on himself.
And we got off the air yesterday, we were talking to Tyler throughout the program because he was supposed to fly today to New York for the Roughnecks game. And we kept trying to check every bit of information out there to see if they were going to play that game. And we did not know. And then when we got home last night, the announcement came from the XFL. Not only was were the games this weekend off, but they were canceling the rest of the regular season. They left it open that they could possibly explore playoffs, but for the time being, they vowed they will be back in 2021. They will pay all players their salaries for 2020 and their bonuses, and that they truly appreciate the fans. They're going to refund them for the tickets that weren't used, and that they're a viable business that it's going to push forward. So I was surprised by so much of that, but I give them credit because I think part of that was giving the statement that needed to be made, which is we are not the AAFL. We are here to stay. We have the financial means to make sure that we can survive this and that we're going to continue to push forward. Good for them.
Yeah, because with the AAFL, I mean, they obviously they weren't ready to proceed with the league. At least with the XFL, they have an excuse in place. I mean, if I'm not necessarily angry with the XFL, knock on wood, I wouldn't want this to happen, but can you really blame them if you can't bring it back? I mean, this was a massive, massive hit to our economy. For them to be that confident even after that situation, that says a lot about the XFL. I think it's well run, and I think you might be seeing a different league. You know, you might be seeing a league that's here to stay, that's going to be around for a while.
And the other thing that I liked is they encouraged players, once they go through their exit physicals this week, they encouraged players that have the opportunity to sign with NFL teams to do so. John McClain, of all people, was saying what we have said. I said this several times once we saw what kind of player P.J. Walker was. Look, when he started showing his escapability and people started comparing him to, you know, a poor man's Deshaun, I wouldn't go that far, but I would say with the Texans needing a backup quarterback, why not bring him in at least for training camp? Give him a look. Whether it's just for the exposure and the fact that it's a feel-good story in Houston or the fact that you realize he's probably going to be more of the type of quarterback to run the system that's already tailor-made for Deshaun than an A.J. McCarron or anybody else. So I'd like to see some of these guys make the jump, get a chance, because as you looked at the Roughnecks roster, there were several NFL second-round picks, third-round picks, guys that came out with a lot of hoopla that just didn't pan out the first time that deserve a second shot.
Oh, yeah, and they were depending on that, and it's just unfortunate because you always have to prove yourself, but it's the way it is. But yeah. kudos to the XFL.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They handled it right. And again, we'll get into it at some point, too. I want to talk about postponed versus canceled because I think some of these people making decisions went a little bit overboard and a little too quick in terms of the way they decided to make their statements. We're just getting started. It's a half hour into the 3-hour program. It's the usual suspects. Stay tuned for much more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the Friday Circus on The Usual Suspects. And with every circus, there's an ass clown or two that's out there that says, of course, we shouldn't be talking about the coronavirus and hammering us. Well, you, sir, can do with it as you will, but
yeah,
it happens to be the most dominant story on the planet.
We've become CNN, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, yeah. CNN your way to some other station if you have a problem with it. So with that being said, some of the information coming out now with the NBA. The NBA has informed all 30 teams on policies effective immediately through March 16th. including all players must remain in the city of where the team plays their home games. They must remain in their homes as long as possible. They are not allowed to group workout and practice, contradicting Mark Cuban, who the other night at courtside said that they were going to be allowed to have team activities and practice and encouraged to practice, even though they're not playing games. Now that has changed to the point where if you're working out at the same gym with some of your teammates, you cannot work out together and you can only have one coach per player, which I don't understand. It's not like a lockout, right? I mean, I guess it's just for the hygiene standpoint of being able to, you know, possibly transfer germs.
Sure.
But they said team physicians and trainers must speak to each player once a day. And I know in the Rockets case, they have two trainers. They have Keith Jones and Jason Biles. I would imagine they split it up and say, you know, you got these seven, I'll take these eight, and you know, we'll check in with them daily. But we'll see how that goes. There's also now leaking out the NBA Players Association has detailed a memo to players involving what's called the doomsday pay provision. And what that says is in times of uncertainty, there's a clause in the player contracts that free owners from paying players a percentage of their salaries should the rest of the season be lost to something like a pandemic like the coronavirus. So just to kind of make sure the players are aware, look, Adam Silver was out there yesterday. And one of the things he said, and he does have this luxury, and it's one of the things I did the video on SportsMap about right away, which is even if you lose the remaining 18 games of the regular season, you weren't scheduled to start your playoffs till the middle of April. So even if you start them at the end of April, say, or sometime in May, so the season goes instead of the third week in June, maybe it goes into July a little bit. Maybe you lose a little summer league. So what?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big of a deal either.
It really isn't. It shouldn't be.
And not only that, you got paid for more than half the season at this point, right? Considering all the game checks you've collected.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a player, that is. And I don't know. I don't see why it's that big of a deal. Maybe there's something in the background that would prevent Adam Silver to make that decision right away. That's why it's easy for the NFL to kind of sit back and just still make deals and make all these contracts because they have a little bit of time. For someone like Adam Silver, you don't. Now, in terms of the coronavirus being on certain surfaces, mm-hmm. they're making all kinds of claims of how long it might last on a particular surface, but they don't even know if it could be like if a particular surface does have a coronavirus, can it transmit to your hand and all that other stuff? Will it transmit? The chances of it all, there's so many variables, and I think that's why it's tough for Adam Silver and he has to make that decision. I think 30 days is a safe window at this time.
You know, it's easy for him now based on where the NBA is in their season. However, we alluded to the fact yesterday that the NBA owners are pressuring Silver to say, let's just make this for 30 days and then see if we can't get it going again, because they're worried, as much as they don't want to say anything publicly that looks like the wrong thing, internally, you know, they're worried about making money as well, and they don't want to wash the whole season. They don't want to walk away from it, and I don't think, for the most part, fans do either, because there's so much parity in the league this year. They really want to see how the playoffs would go, which is, again, why I said, look, you scrap the rest of the regular season. You take the top 16 teams as they were sitting the other night when they postponed the season. Those 16 teams are seeded accordingly based on their records on that night. You set up your playoff matchups. You go forward, you have the rest of your season. If that was the case, the Rockets would open up with not, they wouldn't have home court, but they'd play Denver, which I think they'd beat.
Right.
And then they'd play the winner of the Clippers and Mavs. And if they would win that half of the bracket, then they probably have to play the Lakers. So you know you're going to have to go through those teams anyway, but at least it sets up to where you could still have the playoffs. You're not affecting a whole lot of the bottom line for owners. And then when you hear about the crazy numbers of revenues that they make, like $15 million per playoff game, I'm really sure that pretty certain they're not hurting for cash. This isn't like, you know, other leagues where you're worried about, you know, the revenue streams being affecting the bottom line. The NBA is going to be just fine.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine. I do like what Mario Elie said on the program in terms of, you know, even though we're 64 games into the regular season, you know, those last games, could be an opportunity for a team to kind of really jump in the seeds. You know, like for example, which year was it the Rockets jumped from like the sixth seed to all the way to the second season?
They won the division and the Spurs slipped and they moved all the way to four, I believe. Yeah. Or they
I think they went all the way to the second seed.
Yeah, maybe two, yeah.
From like the sixth or the seventh.
Yeah. He could have finished anywhere from two to six, yep.
Yeah, and so who knows? I mean, I'm not optimistic that the Rockets would have done that, but who knows? Maybe after that, you know, streak of losses, maybe they went on like a 6 or 7, maybe even 10 game win streak, and the seeds look completely different.
Yeah, but
when
you look at the percentages, and again, there's obviously going to be the naysayers and the people that are like, you know, what if this scenario could have played out? But because of the losing streak that you mentioned and losing four straight, the Clippers would have had to go like 500 the rest of the way for them to catch them. You know, you go up and down the list. And yeah, they had a chance to get to the top four. That was more realistic. But catching the top two or three was going to be tough because of that streak anyway. So it's obviously not the ideal set of circumstances, but the league could actually absolutely pull this off. So we'll see what happens with that. In the process of all of that, Adam Silver had plenty to say, and he did say, amongst other things, that even though it does set up to where they could go into the deep into the summer and still get the rest of the season completed, he said the league hadn't ruled out the possibility of canceling the rest of the season.
Adam, is it possible that the season will not continue?
Of course it's possible. I mean, I just don't know more at this point. I mean, there's another factor that may go to the seasonality of this virus. Again, you know, I've talked to a lot of experts, it's a little clear. Some have a theory that just as with the common flu, as the weather changes, we may see it begin to peter out a little bit. I mean, again, we don't know. So, you know, at this point, we're just waiting.
Does he have the coronavirus? Or does he normally sound like that?
No, he doesn't normally sound like that, but here's the other thing. I think I give him credit more than anything else of being
one of the leaders. He didn't even hesitate with that answer.
That is out there. Well, and within 24 hours of all these announcements, he's out there in front of this talking to people and answering questions where you don't see, you know, Rob Manfred out there. You might see a press release, but you're not having Rob Manfred at a press conference answering questions. You have these leagues. You don't have Gary Bettman in the NHL. He's a guy that's, all to his credit, has always been out there to tackle the tough questions and issues out front, putting himself out there and answering questions. And I give him credit for doing that, but I think obviously he was probably on the world tour of media, and at some point, you know, you just get exhausted answering these questions.
How would
people
want
answers?
How do you think David, if he was still alive and still the commish, would he be addressing the media as much as Adam Silver?
Yeah, I think that Adam Silver learned from David Stern. And David Stern was a lawyer. He was a one-on-one. He was going to confront the issues head-on. And I think a lot of the reason why the league is where it's at and Adam Silver is who he is because he learned from David Stern. David Stern was one of those guys that wasn't going to sit there and hide behind someone else. There were times he said things and he regretted them, and he'd go back and change it. But he wasn't afraid to get out in front of it. And that's what I think more leagues need. We talked about this. You can be in a leadership position, but it's times like this that define if you're a true leader or not by the way you handle them. And we talked about Mark Emmert in the NCAA yesterday and what a complete ass clown that was to just sit there and let everybody dangle in the wind. At least from an NBA perspective, the minute the Gobert thing started to go down, they were like, nope, forget it. We were talking about no fans playing and we're going to continue to play games. We're going to do a 180 here. We're going to reevaluate. We're going to stop the season. And I think that was smart.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked the way he addressed the media. I've always said he's the perfect commissioner to replace David Stern. I felt like it was a seamless transition because he was a modern version of the, not to say David Stern wasn't modern, but for now, considering now he's a younger version of David Stern, but gets the modern, like he embraced gambling. You know, he embraced a lot of the things that some people perhaps resisted in the past. And I've always respected Adam Silver for the most part. He might have one or two black guys, like with the whole China situation and how he addressed that. But for the most part, I like the way he addresses most issues.
No, yeah, I appreciate the way.
We
got to
talk about your boy
business.
Charles Barkley, though. By the way,
got to talk about Charles Barkley. Got to talk about a little bit of a rift that possibly is brewing with the two positive tests in the NBA in the Jazz locker room: Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. So those are some interesting things we can get to, as well as your calls, texts, and tweets. So if you want to reach out to the show, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
That is a new intro. I'm just letting you know.
It is indeed.
So we're back on The Usual Suspects, talking about a lot of stuff. Obviously, a lot of it centered around the pandemic of coronavirus that's going around that everybody is seeing the fallout from and dealing with the repercussions of. With that being said, we're talking about the NBA and Adam Silver and the job he's been doing. As part of it, he was on the quote that we used. He was on TNT and he was talking with Shaq and Ernie and Charles wasn't there because truth be told, I was trying to get Charles to join us yesterday and texting him, going back and forth, and all of a sudden he went radio silent, which is very unlike him. And I didn't realize it till I got home last night when I saw the news that he had self-quarantined himself, that he had traveled to New York. He wasn't feeling good or feeling feeling himself in terms of the way he normally feels. He realized that this might be something. So as a precautionary measure, he has quarantined himself to his house. He's taken the test. He's waiting for the results. But get well soon, big fella, because, I mean, literally, that's you don't want to mess with it. And I like to give him a hard time that he's old, but he's not, you know, again, we gave you the whole different characteristics and signs,
right,
that make this potentially terminal, but he's not in that category. But you just don't wish any bad on anybody. You hope he gets over it quickly.
Yeah, he announces it, I think, in a phone interview on the air.
Yep.
No positive test yet, but he does feel some of the symptoms, I guess, so he didn't want to risk it. I mean, I think how long does it take, though? I keep forgetting how long it takes to get the results.
I think it's 24 to 48 hours.
So he's off the air for, well, I mean, they're not really doing any broadcast. Are they still doing broadcasts? NBA on TNT?
They're not doing anything with the games. I don't know if
I'm talking about Kenny and Charles. And
I don't know if they're scheduling any kind of separate shows to try and fill the time. But that's an issue. And obviously this whole thing got started with the announcement right before the tip-off of the Oklahoma City-Utah Jazz game when it came out that Rudy Gobert tested positive. Then, subsequently, Donovan Mitchell, after I think they administered 58 tests to the traveling party for both teams and players, Donovan Mitchell also tested positive. And then Woj put out there that, in part, there was some frustration in the locker room because the players in the locker room said that Gobert, just like he did with the microphones and the recorders at the press conference, was flippantly going around, touching a bunch of players' stuff and touching the players, making a joke of it until the joke was on him. Now there's been some backlash, and Woj was talking about this yesterday.
The Jazz are fortunate that they don't have to get back together and start playing games again right now. There is a lot of work to do to repair relationships, not just between Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, but others in the locker room. There's a lot of frustration with Gobert. He certainly was apologetic today, but this is going to test. They've got great leadership in Utah. Dennis Lindsay, Justin Zanuck, Quinn Snyder, their coach, and in that locker room, it's going to be a test for all of them to get this team back on track if and when they return to playing this season.
And it's interesting because Evan Fournier, who plays for the Magic, but is also on the French national team and is a dear friend of Rudy Gobert's, he had said when the whole thing was going down in Oklahoma City the other night that he had texted with him, that Rudy was in good spirits, that he hoped everything. Well, then when that news came out from Woj, he tweeted out and said, oh, now we're going to be tattling on people? And now, basically, this is like the Astros situation all over again, because now he's basically saying what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room, but because players were, whether they were doing it anonymously or not, they're out there announcing the fact that we're kind of pissed off with the way Rudy handled this, and then Woj comes out with this report. Now you've got a line drawn in the sand in the locker room, and you really probably do have some issues to deal with.
Yeah, and my question is, why would it be anybody else besides Donovan Mitchell? Like, if it's anybody that's going to express anger, why would it be anybody else in that locker room? They've already conducted 58 tests to see who in that organization, whether it's an athlete or someone in the front office or if it's a trainer or whatever the case may be, and the only two positives right now are Donovan and Rudy. I would argue, and I can't prove this, that if anybody's expressing anger, it's going to be Donovan first. Now, obviously, some of the other players are going to be upset because they can't play basketball right now.
Think about this, Nick. I'm going to go back to someone you gave a lot of credit to the other day, Jeff Green.
Yes.
So say you're in that locker room. You didn't necessarily test positive yet, but you are a family man, and you are concerned about having young kids and a wife and protecting them, and you know that Rudy was clowning, and though you haven't tested positive yet, the fact that he was careless like that pisses you off.
100%. Not only that, do you? There was a video that surfaced on Twitter, and it claims to be the game before it all happened, and he was warming up, and he yells to fans, and you can see the video. Y'all can't touch it. Y'all might have the virus. And he's talking about the ball because he's bouncing the ball.
That?
This is Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
And so when you see something like that pops up after you've gotten the positive test, I think that would aggravate me more if I'm Donovan Mitchell. So not only did you get the video surfaces that you're touching every single microphone, not only do you get tested positive, then because you test positive, everybody else has to get tested. I get tested positive. People are posting this video of me saying, y'all might have the virus. I end up getting the virus. Golly, I'd be upset if
I'm taking a step further too, because I don't know if they had their shoot around at a local Oklahoma City high school or Donovan just went to get shots up. But in the process of doing so at the high school, kids find out he's there. So the first night, or the immediately an hour after he got done shooting around, getting his shots up, he posed for pictures, he signed autographs, he was interacting with the kids. The parents are out there tweeting, what a great dude Donovan Mitchell is.
Yep.
Look at him taking these pictures with my daughter, with my son. This is awesome. 24 hours later, it's what the heck is he doing? And he's getting scrutinized because it's like, did he put my kid in harm's way? He didn't even know at the time.
Right, right.
But like to your point, but yet in the world of social justice on social media and otherwise, now suddenly he's a bad guy?
Yeah, I guess the flip side of that is if to Rudy's defense, when the coronavirus was already kind of a hot topic and I touched those microphones, why didn't you get onto my ass about it back then? You know what I mean? You only got onto my ass about it when there was a positive test and the NBA league basically went into suspension. But I don't know. And I don't know if that's a really good defense. I'm just saying.
Well, I can answer that for you from a media perspective. And you know how this is. If you piss off someone on a team and there's only 15 guys on a team and he's one of their two best players. And if you go and do, like you said, and question him, like on what he's doing, he may not give you an interview the rest of the year.
All right, so here's a question that I'll pose to you, and I'd be interested to see what Aaron thinks about this, too.
Okay.
No right answer, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's three people in the past, I guess, 12 months that have said or done something to cause a big controversy. One would be Rudy Gobert. He's the most recent. Mm-hmm. Most people, not necessarily true or not, but most people might blame him for the NBA suspension, right? Mike Fiers and the cheating scandal. Mm-hmm. I don't know if most people in this city would at least put some blame on Mike Fiers for being a quote-unquote snitch, okay? Mm-hmm. And then Daryl Morey's tweet in regards to China. If you had to choose one guy, who deserves the most blame for causing that for their respective controversy?
I mean, it's actually a pretty good question because of the fact that Fiers is the only reason why we are dealing with a cheating scandal. Daryl is the only reason why the league lost $200 million and we have, a major issue with the NBA in China. Rudy Gobert, I mean, there was already a coronavirus. There was already, me personally, it's between Fiers and Daryl. And I would say, I think it's more detrimental to the entire sport of baseball than it is the NBA. But I don't know.
It's a tough one. Can we make the argument that Rudy spearheaded a lot of the other suspensions across the other sports, or do you think NCAA, like the college basketball tournament, all that would have probably shut down?
Oh no,
regardless of Rudy Gobert,
I've heard people at other leagues say that we made our decision based on the NBA making theirs.
Okay. The NHL said it.
Yeah, that's right. Gary Bettman.
Watching the game when the NBA came out and said we're not doing this, and at the middle between the second and third period, the NHL released a statement saying, we're not touching anything. We know that they've done it. That's theirs. They got people infected. We're going to meet on it tonight, but we're just going to keep playing games and we're going to go without fans. And then not 10 hours later, 12 hours later, nope, we're done. One person in the NBA has it. We share these arenas. We share these locker rooms. No, we're done.
So who you got? Each one of you.
Based on that, I'm thinking Rudy Gobert.
You're going Rudy Gobert. Where are you going?
I'm going Morey, I think, because as much as I'm mad that Fires opened his mouth, he did it thinking what he was doing was better for the sport and the sport would come out better in the end to get rid of cheating. Rudy Gobert, with this virus, the problem is you don't know you have it. Right. He didn't know wherever he had been that had it. Nobody in the U.S. had really
had huge. He said he was going to play. If he didn't test positive, he was going to play that night.
Well, we hadn't had a huge outbreak in the States yet, so there was no like, oh, well, this guy tested positive who was in, like, you know, hey, they played in Miami. I know this is just my hypothetical. They played in Miami. All of a sudden, 2 days later, a guy tests positive. Maybe he was there because he's a season ticket holder. There was none of that. This thing spreads by air. You don't know where it is. You don't know who it's coming for. He wasn't showing any symptoms. It was he did it because he was making fun of everybody's panic and outbreak and everything like that. And it just happens to be the way the dice rolled. His immune system caught it.
There's no right answer to this, but feel free to tell us what you think on Twitter at Pac-Man Joel, at Aaron is Blitz, at the producer Nick, or on the text line 713-780-3776.
I'm torn between the two because
I don't really know,
because like to Aaron's point, I get what you're talking about with Daryl, you know, with
and Fires too,
and Fires, but Fires was. I guess they're both trying to right a wrong too, but I think Fires was just trying to clean up a scandal.
I don't know if he
was. Whereas Daryl kind of created a scandal.
Yeah, Daryl. There was nobody out there who asked Daryl's opinion. Nobody. There was no, hey, what does the NBA think of Hong Kong and China and all? His heart was in the right place, but at the same time, if nobody's asking you for something like that, that's going to be controversial. Maybe just let it sit for a while.
But are we sold on the fact that Mike Fires did that intentionally for the better of the sport, or do you think he said something and he didn't realize that that quote was going to blow up and cause all that? Because I feel like that it's the latter. I don't think he knew it was going to blow up to be that big cheating scandal by the Astros when he made those comments. I feel like if he was, that's crazy.
No, I think he did. I think he did.
You don't say something like that.
He said he had an axe to grind, so I think he knew there was going to be.
He was
going to
bring down the system.
Yeah. Who was the baseball player that was on the podcast? And he made the same thing. He made the same comment. He was like, I'm not sure that Mike Fires even knew that this was going to blow up out of proportion. And he's a former player, or he's a current player. And maybe he did, and that everybody else outside the city of Houston is probably thanking him for it. City of Houston is probably angry, but I think it's a good topic of discussion.
People feel free to chime in. We're just 1 hour into the show, 3 hour extravaganza, plenty more to get to. 713-780-3776 is our HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. They're just great people. They really care about their customers, and they're going to take care of you and all of your needs. Whether it's something where you just lost energy and you feel like you're just stuck in a rut, you can't get out, you don't have the energy you once had, and you're not sure how to fix it, or you maybe need a little help in the bedroom. You know, all these things are being considered as easy fixes for the people at Apollo Men's Health. Why? Because they care about you. They're going to sit you down and ask you questions, but more importantly than that, when you walk in the door, if you're nervous and you don't want anybody to see you in the waiting room because you're uncomfortable, they're going to put you in an examination room by yourself, isolate you from the waiting room, talk to you one-on-one, and let you understand that they are here to help as a good friend or a family member. They're going to listen, they're going to learn, and then they're going to set up a plan for you. If you're comfortable in the waiting room, you're going to realize they're going to treat you like family because they're going to ask, do you want water? Do you want Gatorade? Do you want to hang out in the waiting room before you get into the examination room? They're going to take care of you that way because they care about you. They use the best methods out there. It's traditional methods of injections as well as cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. It reduces your weekly visits, maintains your overall wellness in a more convenient way. They also have body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy, all to increase your quality of life. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call them 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com.
Son of a bitch! Give me a drink! One of the night! I just can't be me!
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.